Welcome to Community Conversations, a monthly program on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson, and this evening we'll be talking about being a Muslim in America and here in Duluth and how to deal with misinformation. Since 9/11, extremist Muslims have been using their faith to justify jihad. Other Muslims have protested against what they say is a distortion of Islam. Non-Muslim people, in many cases, know only what they read in the news and tend to lump all Muslims and all poorly understood interpretations of the Quran together. So, whose job is it to educate people? Those who are misunderstanding or those who are misunderstood? Tonight on Community Conversations, we'll talk with some local Muslims about what they see as their mission to educate Muslims and non-Muslims alike through study and dialogue. Community Conversations, whose job is it anyway? Educating Muslims and non-Muslims alike tonight. Let's meet our guests.
Hi, my name is Paul Giddings. I am a student at UMD's Master of Social Work department. Part of one of our classes was to go down and visit a community that we haven't really been a part of, and I was really fascinated by Islam to learn more. So me and two classmates have been going down there for the past couple of months and learning what we can about the Islamic community in town here. And I kind of wanted part of that conversation to be accessible to the community as well, and so that's why we're here.
Hi, my name is Ibrahim Al-Khoura, and I'm the president of the ICTP in Duluth. And I just got this opportunity from Paul and Lisa, so I'm so pleased to be here, and thanks so much for making this happen.
My name is Ahmed Ma'moon. I work at UMD in the marketing department. I'm also on the board of the Islamic Center of Twin Ports, and I'm really excited to be here.
So, Paul, they send you to a community that you're not familiar with, and that also means that the community that you're visiting doesn't know you, and they're not familiar with you either. I'd like to hear about how that experience felt from both sides.
I started out by emailing the Islamic Center through the website, and Ibrahim was the one who answered my email, and he was very welcoming right off from the beginning. He said, come on down, we're happy to have you. And we went down there. I went down there for a potluck at first. I met a bunch of people, and they were all really open and really welcoming, and all of that tension that, well, oh, I'm gonna be the outsider here. They're not gonna know what to do with me. Sort of dissipated fairly quickly because everybody down there is super friendly and eager to chat.
Ibrahim, we talked a little bit about the idea of being a minority community and having people from the majority community wanting to learn more. It can either be a really welcoming, a really positive thing, or the minority community could maybe feel this is our faith tradition. You know, why are you here as an observer?
When you come to the ICTP with those big binoculars, well, you know what? That's okay. That is okay. We feel that we would like people to come and visit us. And as a matter of fact, if we had a bigger budget, we would pay for people to come and come. Well, that's not the case. But one of the things that we do and we kind of preach about is that we would like people to come and visit. And we do this when we go to the synagogue, when we go to the churches, when we go to public events. We actually would like people to come and get to know us. We would like to go and get invited, which we do. And we would like to be represented in all of these events and trying to get to know people, trying to actually have people get to know us more. And then we happen to be in this area of the country, I'm not going to be biased, but I think it's one of the best areas in this country.
For a Muslim?
Both. The people are very nice, open-minded. Everybody's trying, a lot of people are trying, the majority maybe, trying to do the right thing. They're just shy. In our American culture, we don't want to get out of our way and ask you, hey, what do you believe in? Do you eat goat? So I saw Paul's face, which so I would like to thank him first for the compliment. I don't know if we were as cheerful as he was, because usually I'm a grumpy old man. But the thing is, you see somebody who's not from the community. We typically are potlucks and all the local events. We just see the same faces. So I just saw Paul. He had questions, and we were so happy just to have a very intelligent conversation. And he had questions. He had some just information. It's like, you know what? What do you guys believe in? What do you guys to think about this issue, that issue? So it was a beautiful conversation. So I don't want to go and look at the the negative side of things when we're a minority, we're different, and nobody wants to talk to us. No, I'm just going to focus on Paul, people like Paul. I'm going to people like Lisa, who's given us the opportunity to open up and then talk to people about the Islam, being a Muslim, being an American Muslim. Personally, I have an American citizen wife. She's a blondie from Michigan. All my kids are white, so they're half Americans, half Jordanians. I'm on both sides of the fence, so I would like to be a good coach on both sides.
Is it difficult to realize that people come to you and start asking questions most of the time as a result of something really unfortunate committed by someone perverting your faith tradition?
Well, we understand that people are curious, especially the media tries to perpetuate a certain image of Muslims and Islam that's usually not so positive. And people are curious and they do have questions. Obviously, they reach out to the nearest Muslim or the nearest Islamic community. And we are happy to correct the picture tell and show, not just tell, but show and tell what Islam is all about. And by the way, Islam is the fastest growing religion in North America. And I don't think this would have been the case if people weren't welcomed into like Islamic centers, their questions weren't answered. We know what's going on in the world. We know what the media is, how the media is portraying it. And our mission here, like our president said, is to do our part to correct this.
I think we're facing something that's, in a sense, is kind of new, but it leads to kind of similar consequences, similar evil, if you may. One of the major issues that we have, if you study those groups, and I don't want to kind of focus on ISIS, but in general, what we see is most of the, if not all of them, most of the people who join them have mental issues. They do have mental issues. And that was just the research. That was not me, really. The way I view things or the way I perceive it is evil thrives on ignorance. You're talking about somebody who's being, let's say, not accepted in this group of, let's say, community. And you have somebody, and I'm not talking about Duluth, I'm just saying in general. And then you have somebody, on the other hand, who's actually trying to welcome those individuals. Guess what? The most, maybe the tendency for this person is like, you know what, I'm just going to go and feel welcome with that group, regardless of their mentality or regardless of their theology. So and that's really, I think that's the real cause of things. So in other words, what I'm a firm believer in doing, I was trusted on this to be part of this community to provide some leadership roles, to break the ice, let people know what a real Muslim is, and let people know what Islam is all about. And then once we achieve this goal, we actually prevent that ignorant group that tries to welcome anybody from misleading anybody. So I think that's very important. It makes people feel more welcome in the community, more accepted, and it prevents, let's say, other evil group from accessing or outreaching for those individuals.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're talking about whose job is it anyway? Educating Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Our guests in the studio this evening are Paul Giddings, a student of UMD's Master's in Social Work program, Ibrahim Al-Quda, president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports, and Ahmed Mamoun, who sits on the ICTP's board of directors. Again, before we went on the air, when we talked a little bit, both of you talked about your kids. What is it like when you talk to your kids about what they see on television?
My kids are older than Ibrahim's, 19 and 20. They were born in Egypt, our home country. So they got to learn the culture and the values and the faith back home. They came here when they were a little bit older. But obviously, they have been a little bit westernized, Americanized. I try to emphasize our heritage, our faith, our values. They no longer speak Arabic, our native language. They speak English, like Paul here, you know. And I don't know what I feel about this.
I've been a dad now for the last little over about 6 years. My life is completely different. And Paul and I had this conversation talking about kids. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I was a wild man. I was a party guy, you know.
those
days are over. Those days are really...
I've known him for 12 years.
Really, those days are over because once you have kids, it comes with obligations, just like any other parent. Being a Muslim parent, my religion is a set of values that I believe in. And I try to apply those values and implement them throughout the course of my life. In everything I do, every time I make a decision, that's what it's governing power in my brain. What I teach my kids, knowing that I'm not the only one in this universe, so I'm just different. So being a different, different color, different taste of coffee, different taste of maybe style of clothes that I would like to wear, it's also the different taste of my values. It doesn't make the other wrong. So I teach my kids the same analogy, the same way of thinking. So being a Muslim, you can eat pork. It doesn't make that person who eats pork a bad person. Being a Muslim, we don't drink alcohol. But here's the deal. It's like just being different. That's really the key. Being a Christian, you celebrate Christmas. Being a Muslim, you don't get to enjoy those great days that when you have like it's fun, you know. But you know what? That's okay. Being a different, that's the key. So accept me being a different, and I'm going to accept you for being different.
But when your six-year-old maybe says, Daddy, they're saying on the news that this man is bad, and he's a Muslim, and he blew up people because he's a Muslim, what do you say to your six-year-old then?
I tell her the truth. I tell her that that's not a Muslim. I have, we have a 10-year-old. Her name is Dakota, and I hope maybe one day she might get the chance to listen to this conversation. I'm really proud of her. She's wearing hijab, which is the headscarf. All I do is just to explain to her that these are the things that we do because we think of things in this way. Now, when the others look at you differently, the only reason that they do that is because they're lacking the information. So if you tell them why you're doing things, they might understand. Most likely they will. So when you look at that bad person who's doing these bad things, but what I tell my kids is that that's what happens when you don't have good knowledge about what you believe in. You can be easily misguided, manipulated, driven towards the wrong route, I guess.
When a Muslim commits some sort of atrocity, the conversation in the media always seems to turn into, well, he was a Muslim, and how does that factor in? But when a Christian does something in Norway, there was that guy who went to that camp, and he shot a bunch of people. And he did it in the name of Christianity. And yet when I was looking at the news coverage, there was not the same analysis in the news. There was not the same conversation happening about, oh, well, how does his Christianity factor into the fact that he did these horrible things? And the fact that, you know, this is the way the media portrays Islam as somehow being a factor in what individuals do. It, you know, it's definitely a conversation that you know, I want to have with my kids.
As I watch the news coverage, as I listen and I hear parents talking about children that have run away to become radicalized, have gone to Syria or gone to Afghanistan, or the moment apparently they're going off to join ISIS. I'm remembering back to the 70s when our fear as a society was people joining cults. And I asked you if you think that ISIS is that same old evil, in essence, just with a different face.
Well, I don't think this is going to be like a phenomenon. We may see one or two incidents here or there. Usually ISIS and their likes, they prey on the weak, the vulnerable, the uneducated, those with low self-esteem, and they manipulate them, twisting verses from the Quran and taking advantage of their vulnerability. I don't think we'll have this as an issue in the United States. What do you think, Ibrahim?
I think what we should do is look at this from the perspective of We have a group of people who thrive on ignorance. They, just like what Ahmed was talking about, the uneducation, that's a big factor. The mental stability of that person or the individual is also a big factor. And that was proven by research that all those people would have some mental issues. So back to your point, Lisa, which I think is very important. If we can make the Muslim community merge more with the non-Muslim community in the U.S., in this country, and I hope that other countries would follow our footsteps too, is break the ice. Just don't make any fences between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. We're all Americans, different faith, different backgrounds. In my work environment, I'm the only Muslim. And at UMD, I consider myself still a family member of this big family at UMD. I graduated from this university. I'm so proud of it too. I was so loved at work. I'm so loved still. It's my big family. My neighbors are, I love them. They love us. We don't think of, when I go shovel the snow for my 75-year-old neighbor, he doesn't, oh, you're Muslim, you can't do this. You know, we love each other, really, and that's what it comes to. All I'm saying is that to fight these evil groups, we should just put these differences behind our backs and look at what we have in common. We have a lot of things in common. And if we focus on those things, I think we would be very, very productive. And we could eliminate all that ignorance, and in terms, in return, we could fight that those evil groups, either ISIS or whoever.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're talking about whose job is it anyway? Educating Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Our guests in the studio this evening are Paul Giddings, a student of UMD's Master's in Social Work program, Ibrahim Al-Quda, president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports, and Ahmed Mamoun, who sits on the ICTP's board of directors.
Where do we go from here in our Duluth community, helping all of the different parts of our community understand more about one another?
That's one of the things that we're doing right now, is to educate not only the non-Muslim people about Islam, but also the Muslim people about Islam. There's a lot of things that our generation, we inherited some tradition / habit, but that's completely unrelated to the faith. So it's a big chaos. If we really know, we just jump into everybody's heart, we would cry. We would. Because that person is completely lost between what they believe is what God wants them to do versus what they're actually struggling with as keeping these, sticking up to these values, and what they have to go through the community when they're like, I guess I can't have a dog because I'm a Muslim. Well, how do you come up with this? If you're a Muslim, you should really learn what Islam is all about. This thing is all, these are myths, all of them, all of them. And then one of the things that we actually, I personally took upon myself, is to educate the Muslim community in Duluth about Islam. And then separate traditions from Islam. Feel free to stick to your traditions. I don't care. In the same breath, I would like to reach out to a non-Muslim person and say, this is what Islam is all about. And separate the what we see on TV from Islam. So right now, one of the things we're doing, actually we do, as Paul knows, he joined us a few times, we do on Friday night, it's a Friday night get together, pick a topic of your choice for the crowd, whoever shows up. What should we talk about? Jihad? Should we talk about million wives? Should we talk about the 75 or whatever, however many virgins after
right.
you die? Pick and choose whatever topic, discuss it from religious perspective. And then we did, and it was great. But if you don't know me, and if you don't know what I believe in, and if I don't know you, I don't know what you believe in, all I'm going to see is just a person dressed a certain way, acting a certain way, but I have no clue what's driving, what's behind that those actions. So I might perceive it differently than your intentions. And that's where the miscommunication happens, and that's when problems start to happen. So it's, in my opinion, and as a member of this community, from the Muslim community in Duluth, my mission, like a hardcore believer in this mission, I want to break the ice. I want to break all these fences between us.
I talked about Minnesota Nice, and maybe they said, well, yeah, you know, there is an Islamic center, and maybe I could go, but I wouldn't know what to do during the service, or I might say or do the wrong thing. I might hurt somebody's feelings. Minnesotans are kind of shy. And does that put more of an onus on you? Okay, now we not only have to just be ourselves, we have to go out and be ambassadors in the community. What is that like?
Well, I just want to emphasize that people are most welcome to our community to observe us, to ask questions, to even criticize us. We are part of this community. I mean, we are American Muslims or Muslims living in America. And surely any reasonable person would appreciate, would understand God's wisdom that we differ. Yes, we are different, but we need to focus on what we have in common and go from there.
You'd be surprised that you're not the only one with that kind of being shy and you don't want to ask these questions. We probably, most of us have the same thing. So I would probably be shy just or embarrassed to ask you these same questions about yourself. So we're all the same. So don't think of you as like, oh, I'm the only one. No, no, everybody has these things. I'm not going to get out of my way and ask somebody, hey, what do you believe? What do you guys eat? Well, you're different. No, I'm not going to do that. But if I don't do this and you don't do this, guess what? That nothing, we're not going to accomplish anything. Nothing can be done. So what I'm trying to say, just the answer to your question, kind of direct answer, is if you see that Islamic Center of Duluth sign off Winona Street, if I could say that, if you see it, feel free to knock at the door and just go and say hi. Get to know the people. We're all busy, especially people with kids. I mean, we have probably no time to do the reading and then go and start researching what Islam is all about, what Muslims believe in, what do they eat, what do they do, all of those things. So you know what? Just go and meet those people. And we usually have a potluck dinner every Saturday of the month. Everybody's welcome. You don't have to convert after you step in the door. That's something I can assure you. It's like you don't have to convert. Yes. And we'd do whatever just to welcome you, just to visit us and join us and have a chit-chat. And we usually have good food.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's all about, you know.
Good food.
Good food and just good conversation and just having a chat, you know. And that's what's going to kind of fight. We've been talking about ignorance, and from ignorance comes fear. And we talked about the media a little bit. The media, you know, maybe public radio to a lesser extent, but they like fear. Fear gets eyeballs a lot of the times on the big media organizations, right? The best way to fight that is with having conversations and learning to get to know people. And we can do that right here in our community of Duluth. You use the word going over there to observe. Observe is such a scientific thing. Go over there to chat. Go over there to say hi. You know, these are your neighbors.
I just want to echo what Paul said. I mean, this will definitely promote understanding and tolerance and overcome bigotry, if you will, and intolerance.
What are some things that you are thinking about, the three of you, in light of Paul's little experiment? Are there some things that have come out of it that you think, yeah, I think we need to take this thing and take it a little further?
Yeah, I've just learned that ethnic food, you know, goes a long way.
Yes, it's true. When I went over there for the potluck, I had some very delicious stuff over there.
And especially the Indian and, you know, Pakistani, mm-hmm. Southeast Asian food.
Did you bring them lefse? Did you bring them lutefisk, Paul?
I hope not.
No, actually, I'm mostly German, so I probably would have brought them
bratwurst,
sauerkraut, and bratwurst, and I know a lot of people who would have brought halushkis. I'm very familiar with that kind of stuff. Have you ever tried halushkis?
I don't even know what this is, but it doesn't sound appealing.
Basically, you take cabbage and boil it in butter and add dumplings, mostly butter.
Are you thinking outreach thoughts in light of Paul's experiment?
Actually, I think, yes, definitely. The answer is yes. We are, based on what Paul's been doing, all these efforts that he's been putting in, we would like to also to work in Wisconsin, use same kind of method to reach out to people. But that also, that's just one piece of things. We would like to be involved more with local events. We would like people to come and visit us. We would like to engage more in the just public events in general. So we're in the we're in the process of making those things happen. We have this Friday get-together that we do. The doors are open for anybody to just discuss any topic of the choice of the whatever the crowd chooses. And it's nothing formal. It's just a get-together, chit-chat. I have a question. What do you guys believe about this? And then we can study it in an intelligent manner. Most of it just in an open communication environment that we provided for maybe 2 hours. Anybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. So that's one thing that we're doing too. And take into consideration that we're just a bunch of volunteers. We're not really professionals in that field. We're just happen to be Muslim in this community. For a non-Muslim person lives in this part of the world, if you see a Muslim person, please think of this person as a person who came from, somebody like me came from another country, particularly in the Middle East, right? We came from the Middle East to the U.S. We came for a reason or reasons. So some of those reasons, just the oppression that was happening back in our countries. Those countries were not really that great in a lot of things that we have here in the U.S. Those are the things that motivated us to come here and live a nice life. So that person, if you run into a Muslim person, kind of feel sorry for him for what he had to go through. So just get together with that person, and he's the good guy.
I am from the Middle East as well, so I echo what Ibrahim said. We had a choice. I mean, we choose to live here. I chose to bring my children and raise a family here for a number of reasons, mainly freedom, economic opportunity. Ibrahim mentioned oppression, but this is definitely like we need months to discuss this. We chose to be here. This is our home. I consider myself an American. You know, when people ask me, where are you from? I say, I'm an American. I just wasn't born here.
You came here for the weather.
I do have a house in Florida, and I consider this my home, regardless of, you know, the brutal cold, you know, in December and January. You mentioned Minnesota nice. This would overcome anything. I mean, this is definitely, you know, like balances the scale.
Community Conversations is a monthly program here on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson. Thanks to our guests, Paul Giddings, a student of UMD's Master's in Social Work program, Ibrahim Al-Kuda, president of the Islamic Center of the Twin Ports, and Ahmed Mamoun, who sits on the ICTP's Board of Directors. Community Conversations is produced by Lisa Johnson and funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.